A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine and mine know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This fourth weekend of Easter is always called Good Shepherd Sunday. Obvious reasons. The readings always revolve around shepherding. Jesus's shepherding. He says twice in the gospel today, in the gospel of John, "I am the good shepherd." He says it again, "I am the good shepherd." Remember though, we are in the second week of a 3-week series. So if you weren't here last week, you could catch up on Trivia with the Padre. It's a podcast where we put our series, not every weekend, but whenever there's a series, that it's important to have the context. And so the series is a mystery series. It will all come together in the third week. You don't know what the ending will be because we're in the time of mystagogia in Easter. So we're building week to week. Last week, we learned from St. Peter that there are at least two types of ignorance. He lists it. We call it invincible ignorance, or not knowing something that you had no chance to know. So you're not at fault. You didn't have a chance to know it. That's invincible ignorance. It's not your fault. Then there's vincible ignorance. Now that's not knowing something because you didn't try very hard. Now you have a little fault there. And then the church expounds and says there's other types of ignorance where you don't want to know. The ignorance where you're like, you close your ears, right? You don't want to know. As a priest, and especially as a pastor, I have the responsibility of gathering the entire flock. Jesus says there will be one flock and one shepherd. One. So I have to gather all the people. A pastor must instruct all the different levels of people, the people that don't know because they had no chance of knowing. I've got to inform them, got to preach to them. I also have to preach to those who only kind of want to know. And then I also have to preach to those who don't want to know, who turn, close the book, right? Turn off the podcast, if you will. Close the ears. See, my job as a pastor is not just for the people who are really excited about being here or really excited about hearing the gospel or the hard parts. It's for everybody. A good shepherd gathers the sheep even when the sheep doesn't want to be gathered. And he does so because he wants what is good for the sheep. Example, my friends just recently decided to turn in their rural life for to move to into Zachary and to build. And they had chickens and they had sheep and they were living the, you know, the country, St. Francisville country life. And they're like, you know what? We're not going to do that anymore. So they gave away their chickens and they gave away their sheep to some other friends of mine. And by the end of the week, those other friends called my friend and said, "Is there a return policy on the sheep? Like, I didn't know what I was getting into." They were constantly getting out and running away, and they would have to chase them down and bring them back home, and then they'd get out again, and they'd have to go chase them down. They're like, "We're done with this," because they tend to want to run away. Right? Owning sheep and living the rural life certainly is attractive, but being a shepherd is hard. Taking care of animals is hard. That's why I don't have a dog. I'd be a horrible pet owner. A parishioner once sent me a text message and they said, "Hey, look, it's your dog. We bought you a dog." I said, "No, that's your dog." You bought it. Like, I'm not, that would be inhumane to have me be its owner, right? So it's hard to be a shepherd because you actually have to herd the sheep. You have to protect them. You have to get them back when they run away, when they don't want to be gathered and in the fold. There's a hilarious video, YouTube video. It's like 34 seconds. I have it in the flock note. So I couldn't put it up right here. We don't have TVs in here. But the flock note this week on the hill, when you get your flock note, there'll be a video. It's 34 seconds. And it's of this shepherd or this farm guy. And he's pulling a sheep out of a ditch, right? All you see is the legs of the sheep. It's like, meh, meh. And he pulls it out and he's like, I got it. Boom. And he pops it out and the sheep goes, choo, choo, choo. Whoop. Boom. Right back into the ditch. And the guy's like, what just happened? That's us. Sometimes we don't want to be saved. Sometimes we don't want to listen. We don't want to be guided. We don't want to be shepherded. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's what it means to go astray. It's my way. I want to. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He laid it on Jesus, because we have gone astray. Anything I ever preach, even the hard stuff, is only because I desire to protect the life and soul of the flock. Anything that God requires of us is only for our good. I mention it all the time. I say this at weddings all the time. John chapter 15, it's one of the famous gospels for weddings. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. So keeping the commandments is like being in the fold, right? Being shepherded well, saying, I humble myself before God's commandments and before the church's teachings. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. And God says, I have told you these things that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. So you see how the shepherding, the commandments are actually there for our good. Even if we don't understand it. In that moment, there's no chance we can understand completely the reasons why God asks us to do something, or every single teaching of the church. An example of this, a real example of this, is when, people are asked not to receive communion if they're not in the state of grace or if they're not Catholic. And on the surface, this seems like an offense, and many people get offended at me. And they say, "What? Why are you doing that?" I say, well, actually, it's for your good, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, if you eat and drink the Eucharist unworthily, you eat and drink judgment upon yourself. So I'm actually, in asking you not to receive, it's medicinal. It's like preventative medicinal, and it's medicinal. It's calling you back to the truth, back to the fullness of communion with Christ. And I'm stopping you from eating and drinking. This is scripture. It's look, I got to be the shepherd. This is scripture. You eat and drink judgment upon yourself, Paul says. So I don't want you to do that. Do you see how, like, now you can understand? But at the surface, it looks like we're being mean. I mean, this is in our experience growing up. Mothers, you experience this. Fathers, you experience this. With medicine, you're trying to feed your kid the medicine, right? And what do? Spit it out in your face. Until you hide it in something sweet, okay? But like you, most of the time, if it's liquid, it's coming right back at you. And they're like, why are you giving me this horrible thing? You hate me. Actually, you love them, right? They don't understand. Or the dentist. I was talking to a dentist who works with a lot of pediatrics and kids. She's like, sometimes I have to put my full body weight on them, you know? Like, I wonder what that kid's feeling. From their perspective, that kid's on a stretcher on a gurney. They got him locked down. This dentist has a drill and is like pulling full body weight with a mask on. You can't see them, all their eyes. And they're like, the kid's probably like, this is a demon, you know? Like, what? But actually, the reality, when we understand the complete context, because look, we are all like little children. Unless you are like a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So we think we understand, we don't understand. So we look up at God and we say, oh, you're trying to drill us. We look at the church and we say, oh, you're holding us back, you're holding us down. No, we're fixing your teeth. We're making sure that they don't rot out and fall out. So to recap these past 2 weeks, one, last week, we sometimes stray. All of us. We sometimes don't know. We sometimes don't want to know. But that doesn't mean I don't have a responsibility. And so two, this week, true shepherds, true pastors, go get the flock even when they don't want to be got. True shepherds guide and protect even when the flock does not see the reason. True shepherds try eventually to give the reason. So I'll end by letting St. Gregory the Great speak this very eloquently. It's on your sheet. It's a quote from his pastoral guide. I quoted another part of it in a homily last year in the fall, an ordinary time, but this is a lengthier, and I'm just going to read through, and I want you to imagine what I've been talking about. So us going astray, us being ignorant, whether it's our fault or not, and then the church's responsibility of instructing and guiding and shepherding and calling you back even when we stray. And listen to what St. Gregory says about true pastors and evil pastors or bad shepherds. He says, a spiritual guide should be silent when discretion requires and speak when words are of service. Otherwise, he may say what he should not or be silent when he should speak. Indiscreet speech may lead men into error, and an imprudent silence may leave in error those who could have been taught. You hear that? So like you can't be silent when you need to say something because you're scared. When a pastor has been afraid to assert what is right, has he not turned his back and fled by remaining silent? Fled from what? The wolf that was trying to get the sheep. So when I don't say something or when your pastor doesn't say something because he's scared of the recompense, he's scared of the reaction, he's scared that he won't be able to explain it. He's actually a bad shepherd who turns his back on the sheep and the wolves take them out. Whereas if he intervenes on behalf of the flock, he sets up a wall against the enemy in front of the house of Israel. So he's like Gandalf in the breach. You will not pass. The word of reproach, this is important. The word of reproach is a key that unlocks a door. Because reproach reveals a fault of which the evildoer is himself often unaware. What is that? The ignorance. Whether it's your fault or not. Some people don't know. Well, guess what? The key unlocks a door. It's good. It's for your good. So anything that is said that is true, a part of the gospel, a part of the church's teaching, is good for you. That is why Paul says of the bishop, he must be able to encourage men in sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. For the same reason God tells us through Malachi, a prophet in the Old Testament, the lips of the priests are to preserve knowledge, and men shall look to him for the law. Do you look to me for the law? For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Finally, that is also the reason why the Lord warns us through Isaiah. Cry out and be not still. Raise your voice in a trumpet call. We'll be blowing the trumpet next week and we'll see what the mystery is about. Please stand for our intercessions.